Hi, I am Cecile Gawart, the editor of Boat International US edition, and today I have the pleasure of discussing charter and yachts with Josh Golder, the owner of the very well-known 47-meter charter yacht King Benji. Josh has a lot of interesting ideas about charter, how to market his yacht, and change the business model that has been known so far. It's a very interesting conversation. Please join us. Clearly, you're not on King Benji today.
Not on King Benji today. We're having some warranty work done. We should be out of the yard within a week or two and start heading down Caribbean towards St. Martin in that direction. So boat's pretty much ready to go. We're almost there. We're doing some final things and then we'll be back underway.
Okay. It's been quite busy in the last few months.
So King Benji has taken a very different route towards its charters. We've taken a very different route towards crew. We've taken a different route towards social media. And we've tried a lot of different things. So some of them have gone very well. Some have not gone as well. And we're working through some of those things right now to make sure that we have a very good understanding of the best way to reach people that want to charter these types of boats.
Great. Well, for people who are listening who might not know about King Benji, why don't you tell us a little bit about it and first how you got into this boat? You and I spoke previously. You have a very long history and a love for boating. But why don't you walk us through this and how you came to build King Benji and the charter program now?
King Benji is a 47-meter super yacht. It's designed basically to be the most fun yacht of that size on the water. And the reason I designed it that way is because I hate sitting around. I get very bored. And the boat is also designed to have as much of an outdoor-indoor feel like you would in a mansion in a nice area as possible. And there were a lot of design elements that we did and features to make that happen. I feel that it came out very well. Our clients that have gone for charter have absolutely loved the boat. We have rave reviews of the charters we have done. I basically took what I learned from owning production boats over the years and changed all the things that I thought needed to be made better. Access to the outdoors, larger, bigger windows, a massive aft deck for a real true tender, a lot of jet skis, a lot of toys, every toy possible. Also the ability to eat, read, hang out facing forward or aft on every single floor, a casual open kitchen, a teppanyaki bar, a big salon, basically more options, less formality, but still with an ability to be formal if you want to, but a design around fun, youthfulness, family, and adventure.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had the chance to be a guest on board, but I had the very good fortune of walking through the boat a couple of times. First time at the yard where nobody knew who you were, what King Benji was, what it would become. And it was a very interesting visit. We kept that all very hush-hush because we didn't know if we would be able to discuss it. And then the boat came out and then you came out with this very public profile for the boat, which I think everybody would agree is a bit of a different take on things, but makes it quite interesting. And of course, you create quite a buzz in Fort Lauderdale, for example, when the boat was there. You flew a banner over the beach inviting everybody on board. And it's fair to say there was constantly a good amount of people on the boat. Why don't you walk us through these decisions?
So the boat was on the cover of Boat International, of which you're the editor. So I appreciate that. It was a great story. It's one of the things I'm very proud of in my career. It was a great article, and I felt that it very accurately described what I set out to build from scratch 5 years ago with Greg Marshall and Mark Tucker, and we nailed. So let's get that out of the way. At a higher level, I'm an entrepreneur, and I've seen through social media and in person and yachts are very aspirational. There's a lot of people that want to make more money. They want to improve their career for their family. There's all sorts of reasons why. And they usually, in our society, look to either a yacht or a private plane as proof that you made it. back in the past, it was like, hey, my Ferrari, et cetera. But now everyone knows, like, hey, you can rent those things. So yachts and planes, yeah, they're rented too. But even to rent, they're still really, really expensive. Like, you're in a stratified air of wealth to be able to do it. And to me, my view has been twofold on opening the boat to the public via social media and via the boat shows. From a personal perspective, it's very important that to me that if people find these things aspirational and it's of very minimal cost to me to give them more access that is more aspirational, where they actually get to go on the boat, I thought it'd be a very cool thing to do and give out pizza and water and turn it into like in sodas and whatever else we did with, we didn't do booze, and make it so that people that came to the boat show could walk through what we've created and have their own experience with it. Because I mean, personally, if I paid my 50, 60 bucks to go to a boat show and all I could do was walk around the dock and look at them and wonder, like, what does this thing look like? Like, what's the story behind it? Who works on here? Where does it go? Why did they choose this design for this seating area? My view is, even if someone couldn't afford to charter it or to purchase it or another boat like it, I feel that maybe it could inspire them to change their life or their career or something that would be in a very positive direction, because all of a sudden it's like very real to them. It's like, oh, this is what this thing is. It is really cool. I love it. I would love to be on here with my friends. Maybe I want to work harder. Maybe I want a new job. Maybe I want a new degree. Maybe I want a new business, whatever it may be. And I've always had a very aspirational part of learning and achievement in my own head. And it sounds weird, but allowing people on the boat, like on a personal level, was very important to me, and I will continue to do it. I really like it. And I'm not on there saying, hey, I'm the owner, meeting people. I didn't do any of that, zero, none, because I want them to have their own experience with the boat. Like, this is wow, holy shit. This thing was on the cover of the magazine. This thing's all over YouTube. It's Instagram. This seems like the, you know, one of the hot boats of the year, and I get to walk through it. I don't know of any other boat in the industry that has allowed people to do that ever.
Can't think of any, no.
I think the stat was I have to ask the captain. I want to say it was like close to 6,000 people.
Holy cow. Well, that's possible.
It was a very high number that came through, and we had the pizzas going. We had a guy boxing on the back decks, people in the cold plunge doing different stuff. So that's on a personal level. I feel like if you pay to go to a yacht show, show me the yacht. Let me on it. Let me experience the thing. Why do I need to put this thing veiled in secrecy? On a business level, my view is, if you're going to charter your boat out, you never know who's going to walk through.
True.
You never know who is thinking about chartering one of them, but either doesn't have a broker, or they didn't want a broker, or they just wanted to see what yachting is all about, and they don't live in Florida, but they're very wealthy, and maybe I should try that. You know, hey, I'm having my birthday. Maybe it'd be a good thing to have the family do. So from a business perspective, I'm like, all right, well, yeah, I spent some money to put it in the show. I spent some money on things that are food and drinks that are being given away on there. But I think that based on the amount of bookings that this boat has received in its first year of charter, all of the different strategies that we're trying are working, and they're working extremely well. Mm. And I would like to change the way that these things are chartered and viewed by the public, even that those that cannot afford them.
I understand that. And of course, we're not specifically talking about money, but the marketing value that you had in return is probably something you could never aspire to do. I can't imagine how much exposure you got from the people who walked through the boats, from their friends who they told about the boat, from the stories that went around the marketing that you were, or unusual approach to marketing. So,
I mean, my background is in paid marketing, which is pay-per-click style marketing, which is very different than social media marketing. But my thinking from a business standpoint was, all these people are basically an army of attention and eyeballs that, as they enjoy the boat, they share slash brag with all of their followers about the experience that they're having on there. And the boat, quote, goes viral. And people like things that are cool. And the boat is very cool. And as it, yeah, and as it makes its way around the internet as being a cool thing, those that have the means to charter it, that they move in that direction and they like it. And I mean, on just so many levels, I believe in opening the boat up, both social media wise and in person as well.
So I wanted to discuss with you something that happened recently. There is only a couple of boats out there that are quite as public as King Benji is. Another one was a motor yacht named Loon. And of course, they also had a very active social media presence. And it's been gone quietly lately because unfortunately there was an incident.
Well, it's actually gone. It's removed. It's gone.
Is it? Completely gone. Removed, yeah. There was an unfortunate incident surrounding the boat, something that happened between the captain and crew, it sounds like. Nothing really to do with owners, charter guests, or any of that. But for whatever reason, the backlash was heavy. And of course, it's kind of bad publicity. How do you feel about having your boat so public? I mean, how would you handle if something happened bad? I mean, how do you mitigate that? Or how do you correct the situation? How do you handle that?
I mean, for me, it comes down to the crew that you're hiring. So they had an event that their tender with just crew on it hit the rocks in St. Barts. There were injuries from what I understand. I don't know the severity of those. I am not friends with any of the crew of Loon. I'm not friends with the captain. So that is what happened, is that the tender hit rocks. That is a fact. That is undeniable.
Right. Yes. Yes.
From a social media standpoint, I mean, you got to look at it as the owner. And if charter is important to you and you're very public, everything good is going to be magnified. Everything bad is going to be magnified. So
yes,
that's the game you're playing. And when an incident like that happens, it could be the end of your charter boat. Or it may not matter because you can say that, hey, we've replaced the people that were responsible for this incident, and we move forward. At the end of the day, Loon proved that you could build a very successful charter program around social media. They do it differently. Their views of it are a bit different than mine when I look at what they put out. They're doing it a different way, but I kind of feel like it's live by the sword, die by the sword. I mean, P. Diddy was the most famous, one of them wealthy musicians, multi-billionaire, famous guy doing whatever he wanted until he wasn't. And when you're public, whether it's an item or a person, when bad things happen, social media multiplies them and spreads it to hordes of people immediately fast. The good news is unless you're really, really famous, people have a short attention span and they move on to the next thing. So for me,
that's true.
I mean, I don't really have any fear of comments or what people would say on social media. First of all, I shut off comments on YouTube videos, which is different than the way Loon did it, because there's a lot of negative comments and I don't really care if people don't like what we're doing with King Benji, because my view is there's a lot of people that love it and you're always going to have some people that don't. And the ones that want to enjoy the boat and they can, and they don't need to hear the noise of people that want to put other people down that are faceless strangers on the internet. I don't care about them. So, I mean, that's a roundabout answer to the question, but my view is we're in the social media generation. It's now an integral part of everybody's life. If you fuck up, you're going to pay.
True. That's true. How involved are you in the social media program with King Benji? Do you read everything?
100%. Almost all of it comes driven from me.
Seriously? Wow.
I read every single script. I read every single piece of copy that goes into either an information video or a charter promo video. I often go frame by frame re-editing videos. I'm involved in our advertising pay-per-click campaigns. I talk to the captain daily regarding everything related to boats, our boat, charters, crew, social media daily, multiple times a day.
Sounds to me like King Bidji has become a full-time job for you. And I thought you had built it for fun.
I built it for fun. It has turned into a lot more time than I would have wanted on the marketing of charters side. But it's also, it's how I built my other businesses, and I enjoy building things. And the way that yachts are managed and chartered, I mean, it leaves a lot to be desired for the owner. The owner is last in the totem pole of importance and financial result, in my opinion, when it comes to the way these things are currently chartered. And I don't expect that to change anytime soon. And I'm not saying it has to change. There's no need to cry for the owners of these boats. However, social media is opening many different options for owners that want to control their destiny more.
Now, if you get distracted or you have another business you want to launch or you want to go to a different boat, do you feel that at some point you'll be able to give the baby away, so to speak, to someone else? Or pretty much this is your destiny now?
So I think we're working towards a repeatable charter strategy that could be replicated. But the caveat is it can only be replicated with boats. And I know this sounds narcissistic about our own boat, but it can only be replicated with boats that are unique. Because the way that we charter and set this thing up is this is going to be the best week of your year, or hopefully of your life. We have all these toys. We have the best captain. We have great itineraries. Everything is going to be top notch. If we don't deliver on that, the whole thing falls apart. And we do deliver on that, as evidenced by our first season of clients in the Med. The first guest we ever had, a very, very famous American businessman, immediately rebooked a second charter, and he was our first guest ever. And I take a lot of my business principles through the boat, and part of why it has kind of turned into a job for me is because the crew works for charter guests. They don't work for me, the owner. I've had a baby. I've prioritized setting this thing up right for guests, not for the owner. And what I've learned about these boats from an owner's perspective, it's very hard for the crew to serve two masters.
Yes.
To serve the owner and the charter guests. It's a different type of person. It's a different program. It's different financial incentives. So I've geared the boat entirely towards charter guests because the intellectual exercise of building this as the world's best charter boat is actually more exciting to me. I've been on the boat a lot myself. I've been on other boats, chartered a lot of other boats. This is my, you know, first big super yacht, but it's my 14th boat. I've spent a lot of time on the water. I love creating stuff, and I would love to create a King Benji cruise line. I think there's tremendous opportunity. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but like a King Benji style boat in every region of the world. And you have all of your own in-house promotional materials. I know Ritz-Carlton has tried this. I don't know how it's going, or Four Seasons, where they have a boat and the boat is on a worldwide itinerary. And because of their brand, clients will, you know, buy condos on this boat. So I see it a little differently, but I believe we have the best boat. Objectively, based on reviews, I believe that I'm correct based on those reviews. And to me, it's very interesting to try and, once we have all of our systems down for getting clients and knowing what it takes to get those clients, we already know what it takes to give them an amazing experience because the people that have been on love it. I think there's tremendous opportunity to have a branded yacht fleet. And that to me is of interest. I still love my time on the water. I love the boat. I love being on there. But the building of things to me is the most interesting part. And I think there's a lot of different ways to manage these boats. I think there's a ton of different ways to sell charters. I think that there's a lot of pieces missing in the charter game. Like, one of the things we're offering is, for the day, some Navy SEALs can come out to the boat. They teach you and your kids survival lessons, water skills, confidence lessons. We also have the availability for a doctor to come out for a couple days and do stem cells.
Wow. Okay.
So we have all sorts of different things where we're really just looking at this as like, how do we give people everything that they could want where they would leave and say, that was the best week I ever had. You know, the people that are chartering these things are extremely wealthy. I mean, I've done well myself and I kind of understand their mindset, and the mindset is they want the best. So it's really been our goal to distinguish ourselves by being the best and by offering things that are out of the box and other people aren't really even thinking about.
Mm. You're talking primarily about experience. I mean, the boat itself is great. It is fun. If people go on the YouTube channel, look at it, they'll see for themselves. It's quite different. The interior is fun. There's a lot of connection inside and outside that you don't get everywhere. It's casual but comfortable. And yeah, it's got some. My favorite part probably is that open galley you were mentioning earlier with that bar, breakfast bar. It's just great. And then the aft deck, of course, you can do all kinds of stuff outdoors there. But apart from the boat itself, is that the experience then that distinguishes King Benji? And what part does the crew actually play in this?
So it all starts with the captain. I hired a very energetic guy, very ambitious for a reason, because he is not chewed up and spit out by this industry, which is a very difficult industry to work in. It's very hard as crew on these boats. It's very difficult. You're all crammed into a small area. There's a reason that the show Below Deck exists. It's because, you know, wild stuff happens. And it's a stressful job. You know, you're working very hard for, you know, 7 days in a row on a charter. You might have back-to-back charters. You might not like someone, but they live, you know, 2 feet away. So to me, it all starts with the captain. That's where it all starts. And he needs the ability to hire and fire at will. I'm a big believer of when things are no longer right for people, I don't really do a ton of training. I don't do a ton of trying to talk them into doing better. I simply fire and get someone better. From there, it comes down to what is the owner and captain's level of what the service should be for guests. And our view is it needs to be absolutely perfect. If you're paying for a week on our boat or someone else's, it's a significant amount of money. And you had a lot of options of what you could do with that money. And yeah, maybe you're, you know, that amount of money, it might not be meaningful to you after a certain amount. You've got so much money. Like, I mean, all right, whatever, like for the customer, like, you know, maybe they have $1 billion. They still paid us 250, 300K, depending on season, for a week on this boat. It needs to be unbelievable. And yeah. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to work on building out itineraries for guests. And I don't do anything half-assed. I don't believe in half measures. I think it's stupid. And the person that charters needs to feel that they got the equivalent value in experiences, emotional experiences, physical experiences, culinary experiences, experiences on land, whatever they may be. And so it starts with the captain and I, and we want to make sure that whatever anyone wants to do at any time, they can do. And a lot of boats say that. A lot of boats actually do perform that, the ones that are well run. And I feel that we're doing a very good job of that. And it's very important to us. I mean, I think the same attention to detail and commitment I had in building every detail of this boat. I mean, this thing had a 3D warehouse in Canada that mapped out every single room, every visual space. I mean, I feel like we bring that same detail to the charter. And Captain Grant is... he's wired similar to me, where it's like, if a guest has a bunch of drinks, wakes up 3:30 in the morning, and they're like, fuck it, I want a pizza. It's not, we don't look at that. I'm not on the boat, so it's kind of hypocritical for me to say. He's the one on the boat, but I know how he thinks because I talk to him all the time. His view is, if that's what the guest wants, we need to make them the best pizza that we can at that time. Not, oh shit, I got to wake up the chef. He's going to be tired tomorrow. Oh man, it's going to make my job harder. We don't look at it like that. The customer comes on the boat for a week or 2 weeks. We actually get a lot of 2 week charters. They come on. It's their boat and their staff while they're on there, and they should be able to do whatever they want. And we've done a very good job of that so far.
So what's next for King Benji after it leaves the yard? You have plans for Croatia this summer, I understand?
So we're already almost fully booked for summer 25, which is crazy.
Are you?
The amount of demand that we have for summers in Europe is wild. We're almost booked right now, straight through June through first week of August. And we have a pending month-long charter in August. If people want King Benji this summer, the opportunity is August in Croatia. I'm going to open it up to September as well. I have spent time in Croatia in September myself. I believe it is a beautiful time to be in Croatia, less crowds, and the weather is still good. And I think it's phenomenal. So I'm going to open it up to slightly discounted rates, but do September as well. I think it's a waste not to. So yeah, we booked June, we booked July already in advance. The winter, we've got a few things, not as much as I would like, but the interest is starting to pick up. It seems like it's a little bit more last minute in the winter. I don't know why, because this is our first winter ever. So
where is King Benji then this winter?
So this winter, the plan is to do the run between like St. Bart's, pick up in St. Martin, hit some of those really nice islands down there. St. Bart's, I always get them confused, either Antigua or Anguilla, those there. Probably do a little bit of Bahamas as well. Depends where people want to go. I personally really like the island of Dominica for a day or two. I think it's a beautiful island with a lot of crazy nature. But people gravitate towards St. Bart's. They love it. It's an amazing island. They love being there. So we're going to go where people want to go. It's their boat. They decide where they want it. But there's still availability in the winter. I'll probably use the boat a little bit myself. I've done those runs a lot. And they're beautiful. They're really nice.
What's your favorite place so far of the places you've been on a boat? Hard to tell, huh? Many places.
I mean, when you get on a boat like King Benji, or if you're fortunate enough to get on any yacht in any beautiful place, you're going to have a great time. It's really fun. Like, there's a reason people find yachting aspirational. It's because it's awesome. I mean, I love Croatia. I mean, there's so much variety of islands in Croatia. The water is so clear. To me, it still feels, I mean, it's not undiscovered anymore, but it's certainly more undiscovered than Saint-Tropez and the French Riviera and the Italian Riviera. I like Croatia. I think Montenegro is an amazing yacht place as well. I've done that one three times, I think, where you come in the Bay of Kotor and then you go into the old stone town. It's absolutely beautiful, great water. And right after I took delivery of the boat, we only stopped there for a day or two because it was a little off season. Albania may be next. I mean, I think there's a good chance that that's the next spot.
Interesting. Well, you'll have to tell us about that.
I think that's the next one. I think it's coming. They have money for development. They have beautiful water. The food is good. It's safe. I think you're going to start to see over the next 10 years a lot of charter yachts doing a run that's like Croatia, Montenegro, Albania, because they're also much more tax friendly to the client and the owner. And I think you're going to see a massive influx. Croatia 10, 15 years ago was nothing like what it is today. Now there's Yacht Week and there's all these different boats stationed there, and Carpe Diem nightclub in Hvar is one of the, you know, most wild things in that part of the world. The infrastructure keeps improving. Montenegro built a super yacht marina in Tivat. I mean, I think you're going to see Eastern Europe continue to develop as a yachting area. I would like to put my boat there. I also think you're going to start to see over time the South Pacific start to have more infrastructure because it's super beautiful. I've chartered there before, and I think the amount of options that you've seen there right now, it's very, very limited. Because the people that own these boats, most of them they don't come from a background of advertising or marketing. They may be too wealthy to care about their charter program, or just, you know, it's not on their radar. They don't feel like building it, and you know, it just offsets a little bit of cost. I don't see it that way. I see it as like there's massive opportunity to bring my boat and, you know, probably some other awesome boats to places where if clients knew it was an opportunity, I think a ton of them would jump on it. It's like in the summers, when you look at the amount of yachts that are available, like through the Norwegian fjords in that area, there's not a lot. They do limit what's allowed there. That's part of it. But part of it is people just aren't as aware of what an awesome destination it is.
Interesting. That's true. Well, it's probably an expensive destination also, I'm imagining, in terms of permits, access, maybe.
They're all expensive. And the client, I mean, the clients that we've seen, they want what they want. And if they believe that that's a great itinerary that they'll have fun on, they're happy to pay for something a little different, because most very wealthy people have some level of boredom in their life. And when they book a vacation like a yacht charter, they want fun and they want excitement and they want adventure. And what gives them that? Something new. So when you can offer them something new, like the new boat, different services, better services, a new destination, stuff they haven't seen before, they're really happy, because it's unique and it's new and it's something that they haven't realized that they could trade their money for something awesome in that manner. Because a new car is probably not that exciting to them, or they just buy one all the time, and they probably do. I mean, I've been there. And new destinations are exciting. New yachting spots, new boats. It's all very exciting. And I think that as social media continues growing, and if more owners are interested in it, I think you'll see yachts, and depending on how the governments are, whether they're favorable to it, I think you're going to see super yacht charters way more all over the world. I think it's just the Med and Caribbean. I think that's going to change. I think it's going to be everywhere. And I think you're going to see much longer charters as well, 2 to 3 months, as people work remote, they bring their family. Hey, I want to do the Northwest Passage or whatever it is that's now open up with warmer water temperatures, or whatever it may be. You know, I want to, I'm going to, you know, hey, look, you know, life is short. I'm going to do 2 months. We're going to do Fiji and Australia. I think you're going to see a lot more of that, because whether you like it or not, the wealth gap in the world is growing. The shift of money is trending younger as technology takes over.
That's for sure.
And those people want experiences. They want experiences. They're less conservative with their money, and they want to have fun. And yachting is a great way to do that.
So how do we grow King Benji's program? Do you have another boat in mind, or could you transfer the experience you've created on King Benji on a boat that you sort of retrofit with a King Benji style experience? What's the next step?
So the goal for King Benji is that we have a very happy list of clients, which we're in that direction going, but the list is not big enough yet, where I know that I could put the boat anywhere in the world that's exciting and cool, and we could fill it with charter guests. Once we could do that with one boat, I would look at refitting probably a larger boat so that we would have two options. Hey, do you want King Benji, 150 odd feet, or do you want Lord Benji, 280 feet, whatever it may be? Do you want, I have zero concern over the service we can provide, because we're already providing it. It's reaching customers directly, or properly incentivizing brokers to show new destinations and show our boat instead of the historic system, which is where someone is interested in a destination and a broker sends multiple boats. I need to be at the point where our reputation, our service, our customer list, our advertising, our communication with brokers, everything is so dialed that it doesn't matter where the boat is, we have clients. And that is the goal. I mean, people that charter yachts, would they not want King Benji for a 7 to 10 day trip around Japan in the summer? I mean, that would be pretty awesome. And very few people offer that. So it comes down to understanding how to get awareness and leads and clients into your boat. The service we have, it comes down to the awareness. And that's why we do so many things that we do. We do, as I said, we do social media, we do free advertising, we do paid advertising. I run planes over boat shows. I don't know, maybe we sponsor some sports team, and I don't know. So yeah, the goal is perfect it with one boat and go from there.
Hmm. Well, I can't wait to hear more of the next steps. So are we making money at this point with King Benji?
The answer is I don't know, because the way that these things work is, so let's say that you have your P&L and on a year basis, oh, I made XYZ, which is hard to do. Most people that own these boats, they just look at the charters as a way to offset their running cost to their own use.
For sure. That's why I'm asking.
Right. So let's say you approach it as a business, of which I don't have enough time to know, but the ultimate projection to whether or not you're making money or not is going to be, let's say you're profitable in a year. How many years would it take to recoup the cost of the boat? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. If the boat costs tens of millions of dollars and you make $1 million or whatever, I'm just making the number, for 3 years, and then you sell it and the boat is depreciated 50%. Well, yeah, you had three, quote, good years with cash flow, but your investment was absolute garbage. Yeah. So, I mean, it's too early to know. Are we trending in the right direction? The answer is yeah, but there's a long way to go to understanding the cost of the asset and how long it would take to recoup the investment versus another business.
Right. So I guess if I hear you correctly, it's a lot of work, but it's still kind of fun anyway.
I mean, the business of it for me is very exciting and very fun. I don't work on my original business that often anymore. The company became very big and I became very useless and outdated. So I like startup businesses. So this to me is very exciting. And I do believe that there is a hole in the market of yacht style cruise ships. I mean, like where there is a brand in yachting, and the charter managers have tried to make it that way. Hey, you're on a, you know, XYZ management company's boat. But that's really still up to the owner and the captain as far as what the experience is you're going to get. They say that it's branded, but it's not. I mean, it's not.
So you were speaking to us a little bit earlier about how your choice early on anyway was not training, was finding the right people. But once you've achieved with the captain that you like currently and a crew that's, you know, that's providing the good service, I imagine there is a style or an approach that can be teachable. So is that left up to your captain now to train your crew? Because if you expand the business, you probably need more crew.
So I've never on this boat, I've never trained crew. I've never trained any of them on this boat. All my prior boats, I did some training. This one, hired the captain, let him do his thing. He fires a lot, fires fast. And I think that's a great thing. It's something that I agree with as well. I mean, there's a lot of people that get into yachting and want to work as crew because, hey, I'm going to see the world on this mega yacht and it's going to be really fun. And that's partially true. That's half of it. The other half is when the toilet breaks and there's, you know, shit overflowing at 4 a.m. and you've got to clean it, and you drank too much and made out with your coworker, and now you have to live together for 8 more weeks. How are you going to handle that? And if it's not working, I'm not going to try and reel you back in. I'm just going to fire you and replace you with someone that is more mature and better, or at a different stage of their season. I mean, this is a very difficult industry, and it stems from the captain. And the only thing you need to be committed to is not a person, but a high standard and a result. As soon as you're committed to a person, you're screwed. You got to be committed to a standard.
Okay. So are you going to get any time on board for yourself and your family at some point?
So I did, I think, either 9 or 11 weeks in a row last year. This year, I'd like to do a little bit of Caribbean, a little bit. I'd like to do probably a little bit Bahamas towards the end of the season. One of my businesses with my partners and I is going public this year. So that one I am working on, and I'm spending some time with that. So I'll spend some time on there. I'll spend some time on there in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on the ocean, as I said, this is my 14th boat, pretty much nonstop since 2016. The first year I bought my 84 Azimut, I think in a calendar year, I used it, I want to say like 322 days, which is, oh my gosh, in yachting. It's like unheard of. So I mean, I want to, right now, honestly, I kind of want to work on yachting rather than sit on a boat and do the retired fat rich man thing, because I did that for a really long time.
You started too young. That's your problem.
Yeah, I started it too young. I started it at I bought that 84 Azimut. I was fully retired at the time, and I was 33 years old.
Wow. You and I are going to have an off-camera conversation. You can tell me how I can retire twice the age you are.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but when you love what you do, and I never agreed with that when I was younger, when people are like, if you love what you do and it doesn't feel like work, keep doing it. As I get older, like, I mean, I really like working on this. I am driven to be the best, and I'm not, so that's why I keep going. And this is an opportunity to try and prove that we can take an industry that's always done things a certain way and do it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it certainly is a very conservative industry. I mean, I got in, I think 2006-07, as, you know, for working for a magazine, so paying full-time attention to the yachting world. And, you know, there's been a few changes, but it's very slow. And you're right. Things are done a certain way, and it just keeps being the same. Certainly, you know, yachts like yours, King Benji, come out and do things very differently. It draws a lot of attention, and it's probably for the good. So,
and Loon, it was very interesting where Loon did things very differently from a social media perspective. But from what I've seen of the boat, I mean, it's a nice boat. Don't get me wrong.
It is. But
there's nothing super Instagram, YouTube worthy of the boat. They rarely showed the interior of the boat, actually, when they did right. Their social media. And I go out of my way to show the interior as much as possible because our interior is objectively better.
It is beautiful.
It's better. So that's why we show the interior. They kind of built their social media around the crew, the journey of the crew, and then it kind of shifts to showing charter guests a little bit. Everything that I build, I always keep in mind that while we're trying to inspire people that are not yet at the point where they could charter one of these things, the end user is the charter guest, and we need to show them the things that they want to see, which what they want to see is someone like themselves going on a charter and having the best time of their life. And the difficulty is that most people that charter these yachts, they want extreme privacy, and we honor that. And so that's where the challenge lies, is how do you show the client what they're getting? Because otherwise, how do you pick which boat? How do you know it's going to be cool? How do you know it's good? So we even do like unusual stuff where, I mean, the captain will fly to wherever you live in the world to meet you before you charter, show you the boat on an iPad, introduce you to the crew via Zoom, tell you about all the food, the chef, the itinerary. We'll do all of that. We'll also, if someone wants to come visit the boat and we don't have a charter guest on, they're welcome to come to the boat, do a lunch on us by the chef, meet the crew.
Wow, that's unusual.
If you've never chartered us before, we want you to know just a small taste of, hey, this is what it's going to be like.
Very nice. Well, it's a very interesting approach, and thank you very much for sharing it with us.
I mean, it's going to play out in the yachting community. We'll see how it goes. And it's going to be interesting. And for me, it's very fun.
Yeah, good. That's great. I think we hear your son nearby.
Yeah. That's actually, so the boat is named King Benji after my dog. And my son is named Benji also after the dog.
Wow.
So everything is Benji around here.
That's great. Where is the king? Is he with you?
He's here. Yeah, he's in the backyard catching a little sun. Very unconcerned with yachting. And we also have four more Benjis on the way because Benji was cloned. Oh. So then there'll be five Benji dogs, one Benji child, and for right now, one Benji, actually, one Benji super yacht and two Nortec Benji juniors or whatever you want to call them.
I can see the coming of a King Benji skybox at one of a big game one of the days soon.
Eventually, hopefully we can get there. I got to figure out how to let people know what they're actually going to get when they come for a week. That is the key that we're trying to crack here.
Yeah. I guess you're going to have to use those virtual goggles or something. Maybe you can recreate experience.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we can recreate it through the goggles, but we We want you to be able to taste the food, to have the drinks, to see the itinerary. I mean, we want to go a step above and beyond. Even pre-charter, post-charter, Christmas gifts. I mean, one of our clients, our first one who rebooked for Christmas, we gifted him a King Benji Rolex. So the Rolex has had
the logo.
The faceplate, or I don't know a lot about watches. With the faceplate removed, the boat logo added, the boat colors added, his name added to the case back of the watch. At every piece, we've exceeded the expectation.
Excellent. Anything about clothing, crew uniforms? Do we have a King Benji line?
So we've considered going down that direction of making the King Benji clothing available for sale. I think we probably will do it, just on our list of priorities. It hasn't been that high, but we definitely are going to do it. That's another thing at the boat show. I think we gave out 300-400 hats, King Benji Yacht Club. That's kind of like a concept that we like, the King Benji Yacht Club, where, you know, everybody is invited. A select few get to charter. That's kind of a concept we've been playing with and the clothing line. But I would see it more as supporting it. At the end of the day, the goal is to be a 5-star charter boat. And the rest of the pieces are ancillary, but we're working on it all.
Sounds really interesting and fun, too.
Yeah, it's a good time. I like it.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Josh. It was a pleasure catching up with you. And we'll check back with you in King Benji.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.